Okay, we're just about done. I don't think Ben's showing up again, Tasers. He got the recording equipment ready to go.
You got it, muchacho.
All right, then. Let's get the news and wait a second. Is that? Oh my God. Oh my God, Ben? Ben, is that you? What happened to you?
What do you mean, what happened to me? Didn't you assholes hear the horn?
The horn?
Yes, the horn? The horn of battle? The signal that you must ride to meet the enemy? It sounded over a month ago, and only John and I showed up. Where the fuck were you guys?
Was that ominous bellowing noise from the distance? I mean, I thought that was just coming from Gillette Stadium. You know, it's football season again, Ben.
John died in my arms, you son of a bitch!
Oh, okay, calm down. Hang on now. I mean, don't just look at me. I mean, what about Taser?
Oh, I saw a taser there.
You did?
Yeah, on the other side, helping lead the forces of hell!
Hey man, look. Hella promised me a shot at the good stuff. You know what I mean? What do you want me to do?
Why the hell didn't you mention that on either of the shows that we recorded together?
Honestly? Because Ben did a better job of fighting this than Hella thought he would.
Wait a second. So does that mean that Taser murdered John?
No, it means that you're fired again, bitch. Hit the bricks.
Ugh, whatever. Look, you're listening to episode number.
That's my intro! I'll kill you!
And with that, welcome to episode 282 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Kick it!
Here we are, born to be kings. We're the princes.
You are listening to episode number. Fuck me, I already forgot. Intro. But hey, I'm Rusty. You're listening to 282 of the Mighty Warriors Team Marvel podcast. My name's not actually Rusty. I am Ben, aka the Marvelous Ziggy. I am your rightful host, the true king of Asgard, not the Odin son because he's a bitch. Joining me is my, what do they call it? My court jester, Mr. Brian Powers. Brian.
Court jester. I mean, I think I earned a little bit more than that with that strangling you gave me. But hey, who am I to judge, I guess? You know, I'll just be over here in the corner bringing you the news or whatever. Not like I held down the show for two installments.
And joining us is my fearsome Black Knight, Taser. Taser, welcome to the show.
All I'll say is this: it wasn't worth it. Believe it or not, hell is cold. And I don't mean emotionally, I meant to the touch. It is so not worth it.
Ooh, sounds like
Unhairy.
borderline necrophilia.
Very
Yeah, I was
hairy.
gonna say.
I don't like that.
And dry. Cold and dry.
All right.
Okay, moving right along.
We got a busy show for you today, ladies and gentlemen. We got some Avengers news. We got some Captain Marvel news.
Yay!
We got some Guardians of the Galaxy news. And we
Yay!
got a whole bunch of stuff. So let's go ahead and knock out the big one in the room first, which is the gonna break the internet trending tweet, which is
I'm sorry,
Captain
Ben.
Marvel.
Ben, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we actually have a couple of in memoriams. Do you mind if we cover those before we get into the news? Is that all right?
A reliable news host would have told me to fucking, hey, we were
The
gonna do
reliable
this.
news host posted them in the chat window for everybody to see.
We ran down the news and you didn't mention this, but whatever. Well, let's do memorials because I'm not an inconsiderate asshole.
Fine. There were two major deaths since last we recorded. First one was Gary Friedrich, most notably co-creator of the Ghost Rider, and Damon Hellstrom, the son of Satan, passed away on Tuesday. I believe that was in August. He passed away at the age of 75. He worked on a slew of other books in the 60s and 70s. He even worked for Charlton for a time being. Worked on Sergeant Fury, stints on Captain America, Daredevil, S.H.I.E.L.D. He was kind of just an all-around, you know, artist, and he played hand in a bunch of other books. And he passed away, like I said, at the age of 75, unfortunately. That was a couple weeks ago. But the other major death that came about was Mary Severin. She passed away. She was an artist. She did a lot of... what do you call them? The breakdowns for like covers and such. The list of her credits is long and wide. In fact, probably one of the most notable things is Jack Kirby once said that he left her to do the breakdowns of some of his covers because allegedly he said she was better at it than he was. Wow. Which I don't know what you know about Jack Kirby and whether that may just be one of those myths lost to time. But I mean, she was a fill-in artist all across the board. She worked on books through the late 60s and early 70s, much like Gary Friedrich did. List of her books that she did art in includes Spectacular Spider-Man, Incredible Hulk, Supernatural Thrillers back when the horror phase was kicking, Submariner, G.I. Joe, Heathcliff, Giant Size Chillers, Conan the Barbarian, Doc Savage, Power Man, Amazing Adventures, A-Team, Fraggle Rock, that's a standout one right there, Fallen Angels, and the Muppet Babies. Isn't that adorable?
With titles like those, that meant she did it into the 80s, which means I collected a lot of those. So, yeah. Wow. Okay.
And also, she is credited with the three-headed look of the Living Tribunal, which originally debuted in Strange Tales number 157, which she did the pencils for. Wow. So she is credited with the look of the Living Tribunal, the cloth-covered three heads and, you know, just sort of that sort of thing. So two living legends passed on in the time since we have last convened. Mary Severin passed away at the age of 90.
That's a ripe old age.
Yeah. She did all right.
God bless. You know?
Yeah. And Severin was inducted into the Will Eisner Hall of Fame in 2001 and Comic-Con International presented her with the Icon Award in November 2017.
Awesome.
So... yeah, she had a resume that was mighty powerful. Gary Friedrich contributed his own right to some of the more popular characters of the modern day, but two big titans of the industry have come and gone, and if we could just pay a moment of respect, I think that'd be on call. So. All right, then. Moving right along, Ben, I believe you were saying something about the fearless Captain Marvel, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so the tweet, when Brie Larson tweeted on Tuesday evening last week that, hey, EW, let's break the internet. Everybody expected a trailer, and we didn't. We got photos. But needless to say, this is our first official look at the upcoming Captain Marvel film starring Brie Larson and others. Guys, we got Captain Marvel in costume. We got Marvel. We got... not genius. We got the Skrulls who look like Piccolo from Dragon Ball. We got not much to go on with these other than that I tweeted this out that I'm convinced every fucking superhero is a Skrull until Marvel says otherwise. So suck it. I like her costume. I really like her costume. Obviously it's gonna be deprived from the Kree sort of look. We even got a look at Amistad back in the movie and Cronin the Accuser back in the movie and a whole bunch of other Kree people who actually look like Krees, which is it's pretty cool. I just really like how her costume looks, how the military sort of aspect of it, the brightness of it. I just want a trailer at this point, man.
That's what everybody thought we were getting, to be fair. Nobody knew what it was going to be, but... it was just a featured entertainment weekly, but everybody thought it was going to be the trailer that dropped instead of all these set photos, not set photos, but you know, the first look stuff. So to see all that was good, but to take a page out of Donald Glover's stand-up book, it's like, It's like a hand job, you know? It's like, this is pretty good, but you know what I really want, right?
Yeah.
I mean, let's not beat around the bush here. You know?
I'm curious on Jude Law's how his portrayal of Marvel is going to be.
Is that confirmed that he is Mar-Vel, the classic
Captain
Marvel?
Yeah, he's Mar-Vel.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. I haven't heard that. Though?
I mean, if you're going to do, you know, Captain Marvel and it's what's her name? You have to do Mar-Vel. You know what I mean? I can't think of them. I mean, they could surely substitute somebody else, and you know, just because they want to hold on to him for some other shit. But if you're gonna do her I didn't mean that the way it sounded.
Hey.
But if you're going to do her story properly, you gotta use Mar-Vel. You know? I'm just saying.
I hear you. I mean, I'm just excited to get Ronan the Accuser back in any capacity. I think he was, however good Guardians of the Galaxy was, I felt wasted.
Let's talk about the weird one. Fucking DH Nick Fury, dude.
Oh, God. Yeah. He looks like he did in Triple X, the first one with Vin Diesel.
No, he looks younger than that. He looks like a baby, dude. like, God.
He doesn't look that baby young. God damn, it's still Samuel L. Jackson.
Let me ask you guys this, because obviously he's going to lose his eye in this movie. Is it a Skrull that takes out his eye, and that makes him give trust issues because he thinks everybody's a fucking shape-shifting motherfucking alien? Or is it Mar-Vel who somehow slices off his eye? Or is it Ronan?
I say it's none of that. I say it's a splinter.
It's what? A post-credit scene joke. That's what it is.
Exactly. So it's a splinter. And that's how he ends up with one eye. He gets a splinter from a straw. There you go. A straw. The straw wrapper gets blown into his eye. He loses the eye.
I think that his eye gets taken by the orb and then swerve. We do Original Sin instead of Infinity War to close out the Avengers saga. What up?
Why do you want to relive that horrible mess? Like, why?
I don't know. I'm the only one who remembers it. So I still have the bouncy ball on my desk when they promoted it. They had a rubber bouncy ball made looked like an eyeball, and it has the Original Sin imprint on the bag, and I just kept it on me this whole time.
I'll go one better. I say it's Rocket. Rocket comes down, and he looks at Fury and he goes, I want that eye. And then he takes his eye. There you go.
Oh, I'll get that
and
eye.
That's the eye. That's the eye that he gives to Thor.
That would be great. Why does one eye look like it wants to call me a motherfucker? Ask not these questions, me immortal. But yeah, I mean, I'm stoked to see it. I mean, I feel like Captain Marvel is one of those sleeper hits that's creeping up on you. That's gonna be more of a big deal than people are letting it on.
Well, they're positioning her as the Superman of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. She's gonna be this powerful character that she may not be super powerful in this movie, but
the potential to be one of the biggest characters.
Yeah, which is it's going to be interesting. I just hope the movie is good. It's hard, again, there's set photos, so it's hard to judge anything. I wish we got a shot of Phil Coulson, like
what he
looked like in the 90s.
Well, you know where you can see Phil Coulson? On Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on ABC. Coming back for season 6.
I never have to hear you guys talk about it ever again. I expect before November we'll get a Captain Marvel trailer, just because that movie comes out. What's that movie come out? What, March? March?
Yeah, I think it's like late March. I want to say.
Yeah, because Infinity War is like just literally right after, like 6 weeks later.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what the next Disney movie is that's coming out that they can attach it to.
There's no Star Wars movie this year, so.
No, it'll have to be sooner than that, I would think.
Isn't like a Nutcracker movie coming out this Christmas?
Oh yeah, I think they're doing it in November actually, prior to the Christmas season. So that'll probably be when it is.
Yeah, that's the only canon I see. But I'm sure we'll get one
also
eventually.
Wreck-It Ralph 2. Wreck-It Ralph
2.
Shit! I forgot about that!
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's possible, not a definite, but I think that might be a little more likely, yeah.
It'll probably be one of those two. You know, as probably Wreck-It Ralph, considering that'll be probably the bigger release between that and the Nutcracker. You know, they'll want as many eyes on it as possible, so. That makes sense. All right. But, yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing a trailer. I dig Brie Larson, so I'm looking forward to it. And the set photos do look promising. I'm just glad we're getting, like, OG real Skrulls and not the Chitauri, quote-unquote, that were supposed to be the Skrulls, you know? Way, way back in the days of old when Ultimate was trying to be the template for the MCU. It's like, nah, we're okay.
Yeah. How do you feel about the Skrulls designs, though?
I think they look good. I mean, they're not going to stay Skrulls for long because Secret Invasion, you know, they'll eventually morph into somebody else.
Did you notice that they changed their butts to their chins, though?
I did notice that. I was very upset.
I guarantee you they did that because they didn't want to have people, 100 blogs come out, are the Skrulls related to Thanos? And then use the chin as the example. I guarantee you. I guarantee
that. Are people really... Oh, what am I saying?
People are that stupid. I guarantee you.
Remember, it's the non-comic book fans that would be asking that question.
And that are clickbaiting news sites that'll want clicks.
That makes sense, I guess. But, I mean, now all we have to go on, though, is the pointy ears, which will probably be like, you know, whenever someone lightly morphs back into their scrolly selves, they'll get pointy ears. All of a sudden, they'll just look at Vulcans from fucking Star Trek, which is... You know, fine, I guess, but who do you guys bet then is a Skrull in the Marvel Universe?
Vision.
M'Baku.
Vision is a robot, Taser. Just gonna throw Skrull? That out there.
He's a Skrull.
We kind of saw his origin. I mean, he could have been switched out at some point.
No, I guess. Wait a minute. You know who would piss off everybody if they were a Skrull?
Captain America.
No. Shuri. Shuri.
Oh my god, yes.
Would cause a shitstorm if she was a Skrull.
I mean, it would piss people off, but I think his lady friend, the spy who hasn't been back to Wakanda in forever, is the more likely candidate.
I'll agree there, yeah.
Yeah.
Although, actually, I think it's War Machine. I think Rhodey.
I hope they do that.
Just because... Who better to keep tabs on one of the world's leading industrialists and maker of the world's most powerful weapon than, you know, his best friend?
No.
Warps back to Terrence Howard.
Pepper.
Ben, I love that idea. He reverts back from Don Cheadle to Terrence Howard.
Oh, that would be messed up.
What's going on, man? I'm a Skrull now. What's up? Oh, my God. I would pay
like that. In between Iron Man 2, that's when Rhodey gets abducted, and they never comment on it because like Rhodey probably just got surgery just to look different, but they just never like Tony just like, yeah, it's whatever, do your thing, bro. But it's the Skrull, the entire
movie. Oh my god!
And Rhodey has had no idea what the fuck happened. I was gone for 10 years.
Wait a minute. Is that her storyline? They're doing Secret Invasion, really?
Well, no, hers is the Kree Skrull War, I think.
Oh, really?
Well, the Kree Skrull War, but we say Secret Invasion just because...
I mean, that team-up is Star Force or whatever the hell it's called. I shared Trump? The article there.
Is it Trump? Star Force!
No, that's Space Force.
I think a lot of people are talking about Secret Invasion is because this movie does take place before, like, the Marvels, you know, takes place proper. And you have Skrulls who have, you know, who are that was their thing that nobody knew when Secret Invasion. Obviously, everybody, if you don't remember, the big thing about before Secret Invasion is that they killed Elektra and they had no idea she was a Skrull this entire forever. How long? Like, how long has it been?
Yeah, because it's only when they die they revert back. So.
Yeah, or they willingly do it. So the idea, a lot of people are, it's not confirmed by Marvel that they're doing a Secret Invasion movie. I mean, for all we know, the Skrulls could just get killed off completely, and then we never hear from it again. It would be awful. But the idea of putting that seed there, you put the doubts in the casual audience's mind.
Skrull.
Yeah, exactly. Like it'll probably be a post-credit sequence where you know, a Skrull morphs into a human and walks into a public park or something. That's it, and it gives you the idea like they can be anywhere and they can be anyone. So I think that's what more people are excited about. But for now, I don't think we'll get the Kree Skrull War. I think we'll probably get like the Kree and the Skrull are at war, and this is like Captain Marvel and Mar-Vell stopping before it goes into a full scale war.
All right.
Because I don't think we do such a big Avengers storyline with like just Captain Marvel.
Are you kidding me? Look at what they're doing with Infinity War. Look at how they're handling Thanos.
I mean, correct, it's not faithful, but at least that's a big Avengers movie, and that's not, they didn't do it in, like, say, Thor or anything all like right, that.
Agreed.
Yeah. So, you know, the final thoughts on Brie Larson as Captain Marvel and the Captain Marvel movie?
Oh, okay. I want to say this now before you two finish. I have only seen the cover with her in the suit. I am not looking at anything else. I have no idea what the Skrulls look like or Korath. I know he's in it. Ronan, I just found out that he's in it thanks to you. I have no idea what anything else looks like, and I want to be surprised for the movie. That's why I haven't looked at any of the shots from that Entertainment Weekly set piece. I think it's like, what, 10 photos that they released? I haven't seen anything except the one of her in the costume. That's it. And I don't want anything else to ruin it for me. I want to be pleasantly surprised when I go to the movie and see it there for the first time. I'm not even looking at the trailer. Not even looking at trailers. Yeah. Well, everything. The look of everything. I want to be surprised. So I am avoiding. I mean, we could talk about it to an extent, but I'm not going to be looking at anything visual. So that's my mission till the movie gets released.
All right. Well, let's move on to some more interesting news. We talk about the sort of Guardians of the Galaxy stuff and that. A couple of things. First up, Dave Bautista is not sure he might want to not return for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Good Volume for him. 3.
Now, yeah.
Yeah.
James Gunn was robbed.
Yeah, he's been the most vocal critic of Disney and Marvel and their treatment of James Gunn. So I don't know if they would even have him back, even if he wasn't contemplating it. You know, it depends on, I guess, what the plans are for Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which production was just put on hold, too. So, you know, that's kind of up in the air so far as when that movie will ever see the light of day. But, you know, this obviously is a continuing thing. Not only did we get that, but we also had Michelle Yeoh of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 throw her support behind James Gunn and criticize Disney and Marvel for their decision. So, you know, they've got that going for them, too. And, yeah, now this, actually, the one I just shared is more of like a, it's a recent piece. I forget who published it, but basically making the case that James Gunn never wanted to direct Guardians of the Galaxy 3 anyway, which, you know, I'm kind of like,
That's hard to say. I mean, yeah. It's not unrealistic to think that, you know, where, like, some directors... Like, not everybody wants to direct, like, the blockbuster their entire lives. You know, they want to do other things.
That's absolutely like, fair.
I mean, and as we've learned, the third one always sucks. It just, except Infinity War, apparently. It's said that rule of threes that usually the third one sucks. It's not unheard of, but because he tweeted about it, that he was writing the script, so I'm sure it would have been a good movie, but maybe his heart. It's a reality. It's a possibility his heart might have been in it, but, you know, it we'll never know until he says it himself.
Yeah, and he seems to be keeping very quiet about everything moving forward, so. But, yeah, Taser obviously shares the opinion that James Gunn was robbed. Hashtag.
Rehire James Gunn!
I mean, I don't know. At this point, I mean, this is just a shitty situation all around. And I almost hate that by sheer media presence and coverage, I feel like we have to keep covering it, you know? But I feel like somebody has to because, you know, other than little articles like this and that poking up, it's really not, you know, covered so much, you know, continuously, which nothing really is nowadays, but... You know, I mean, if nothing else, I guess we got two really good movies out of it. I mean, my fiance and I, we always continually blast the Awesome Mix, which was James Gunn's fingerprints all over it. You know, it's just, I don't know. I almost feel like even if they offered him back, he shouldn't want it back, you know, because he can go off and do his own thing. I'm sure he's going to land on his feet. You know, I don't doubt that. Well, who knows? You know,
it's just a shame because, like, they tease Adam Warlock at the end of Guardians 2, and like that's the biggest sort of enigma of them all. What is going to be the fate of Adam Warlock? That's what I'm wondering about the most. But either way, I don't think there's much more to say than that's still a fucked up situation. And that when James Gunn makes The Flash, it's going to be amazing. And Marvel's going to realize, what the fuck did we do? So that's going to be fun.
Actually, I have an idea. Hey, Marvel, hire Rian Johnson, the guy who directed The Last Jedi. Yeah, hire that guy. Yeah. Go hire him. Because give you a movie that of with stuff that you don't expect. He breaks expectations. See how successful it was. Yay! Hire that guy. Go ahead, hire him.
All right. Talking about breaking expectations, apparently the fuckhead known as the Superior Spider-Man is coming back.
Hey, Ben's favorite version.
Yeah. Otto Octavius decides he can do the hero job, and depending on what he defines as hero, that remains to be seen. But yeah, apparently they thought Superior Spider-Man was so popular, they thought, why let it lie? And they're bringing it back this December with a new ongoing.
Yeah, because technically Octavius is Peter Parker, a clone version of Peter Parker. I didn't even know that because I didn't
which is creepy as fuck when you think about it. Yeah. That's just not right. But yeah, it's gonna be written by Christos Gage.
I'm gonna fuck your hand in this body, son.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I honestly think that Doc Ock being a pseudo clone somewhat of Peter Parker, that should, in my opinion, that should give Peter Parker license to end him. I mean, really, because he literally stole his life. At least his body and memories.
Not that I'm sure you'd care, but that then also applies to the whole Peter Parker Ben Reilly rivalry.
That wasn't Ben Reilly's fault though. Ben Reilly didn't have any hand in his creation. He was made. Otto orchestrated everything that happened. So since he's the cause, I would say that Peter could be the cure with a bullet.
Hmm.
That's all I'm saying.
He's not going to do that.
But written by Christos Gage, who, by all accounts, wrote the upholding Spider-Man video game out right now for PlayStation 4. I haven't gotten my hands on it yet. Have any of you got your hands on it yet?
I don't even have a PS4, man.
Fair enough. You've been a busy old school gaming anyway, so.
Yeah, and I don't touch PlayStation products, so, that's.
Fair enough. Once I get my hands on it.
I'm not gonna lie, like I've seen it and like being played, and it looks fucking ridiculous. Like
I've seen all the posts on Reddit's gaming forum, and I mirrored that. There's so many people that are just so mind boggled by some of the shit that you can do. And I think Arnold has he's got the game, and he's posted a little bit of some of the stuff that he's come across and what have you, and he loves it. So, I did see one thing. Apparently, you can't punch the regular pedestrians. You can't assault them at all. That sucks. I mean, come on. Wouldn't you want to web up a bunch of people?
But I think you can do like finger points at them, like in Spider-Man 3.
Don't you want to like web somebody to toss them in the air and?
Yeah, but Spider-Man doesn't do that.
Boo!
Oh my god. Alright.
If this was a Wolverine game, Wolverine would totally just punch a random.
Oh, that was X-Men Origins Wolverine Uncaged Edition. That shit was dope. Oh, I got that for my birthday 1 year, and I had the most fun just slicing and dicing motherfuckers. It was fantastic.
Nice.
So much fun. Oh, and by the way, just so you guys know how to rate this game, the only review that matters, Daily Bugle gave the Spider-Man game a 0.5 star out of 10. So,
That's one of my favorite things about seeing this game, is that J. Jonah Jameson is basically Alex Jones.
Oh, my God, I know.
He's just a conspiracy theory nut asshole. I haven't seen much of it, but I've seen enough to where I'm like, oh, my God, I could believe J. Jonah Jameson would totally be doing anything possible to make sure everybody knows that wall crawling menace is a menace to society.
Love it. The J. Jonah Jameson podcast.
Yeah. Let's
turn the fucking spiders gay. They're turning all the spiders gay. Sorry.
Alex Jones get put in the box.
I mean, if Alex Jones just grew a Hitler mustache, they could be halfway there. So,
wow. Yeah, always well, good. Nah, and he got the shaved head thing. Yeah, if he did that.
Yeah.
Just love that he almost picked a fight with the United States Senator. I would have loved to have seen that shit.
That would have been. I would have loved to see how that ended.
So yeah, the last piece of news. I don't know why you even posted this, Brian, because it's completely a know-nothing story. Jeremy Renner posted.
Well, that was just fun for me because I got to confirm that, you know, he's actually going to be in the next movie, hopefully, you know, because not like...
Shit, I wouldn't be surprised if Liv Tyler didn't show up in the next movie.
I would have loved to see that. Although, it's funny because... what is it? I posted the article earlier online, and Michael Haida from the Green Lantern Corps message boards and a friend on Facebook. Yeah, he made the comment about a quote given from Kevin Feige regarding it, which is that quote: "We at Marvel love Hawkeye. There are big story things coming up for Hawkeye. Jeremy Renner is as strong an actor as anyone in the MCU." And he poked that out, and he was like, "Could that allude to Goliath, possibly?" And I was like, "No fucking way! You don't think they'd go Goliath, Clint Barton, do you?" Like, I just thought that was kind of fun, so I just wanted to bring that up real quick. But yeah, more of a fluff little piece. But I thought that was interesting and a very specific choice of words. He reiterated it twice, Kevin Feige, when he was quoted. So, I thought it was...
What did he say again? Say what he said.
Yeah. Sure. Hang on one second. Where did the article go? I should keep that stuff. Okay, so he said, I'll go over this slowly for those of you playing at home.
Sure.
Quote, "We at Marvel love Hawkeye. There are big story things coming up for Hawkeye, and Jeremy Renner is as strong an actor as anyone in the MCU and awesome
he's gonna
as
die.
His character," end quote.
He's going to die. That sounds like
no,
a fucking
you know what
to
I
me.
Think? And I've heard this rumor. They're already playing with, you know, big guy thing over with Ant-Man. You know what I think they do?
Giant what do you man? Think they would do?
No, Ronan.
Yeah, I heard that swirling too. That's a possible rumor, especially
if I think they might do Ronin. That could be interesting, because that would also give him a sword, and that
nunchaku.
I'm just saying it might actually be fun to look at visually. You know, you got Cap, Black Widow, and I don't know if they do the full mask thing because, you know, Marvel seems to have an issue with costumes, but I think that could be a lot of fun to watch if they have him issue. Or at least he adds the sword to the repertoire along with the bow and arrows. I think that could be a lot of fun. Yes. And Ronan has a very nice costume. I mean...
Oh, yeah, like the black and gold trim is just hot. Very visually striking, you know. Definitely a little bit different than most of the other stuff we've seen as far as, like, you know, except for Black Panther, but that's a...
Well, I mean, look at everybody's costumes today. Cap has basically an all black outfit. Black Widow, black outfit. Black Panther, black outfit. And Hawkeye, pretty much a black outfit. So the only thing that would really be different would be the kind of cape thing that that costume is, because you know it's kind of long, like a jacket kind of thing, like a trench coat.
Like an archer. It looks like a medieval archer.
Right. And the full face mask. I doubt they do the full face mask, though. I don't see that happening. But
I guarantee you people are going to call out... I'm not going to be upset at it because we knew about Ronan, but I guarantee you people are going to call out a cultural appropriation bullshit. And I look forward to all those articles, all those blog posts. I look forward to all the anger rants. Because you know it's going to happen if they do Ronan that way.
I bet if they do it, they won't actually call him Ronan.
You think they change it?
It's still going to be a white dude dressed up.
No, I think they just won't acknowledge the name change.
He's just Hawkeye. Well, they don't even really call him Hawkeye anyways.
That's true. Yeah, you have a point there. They tend to call him Barton, you know, just that rather than Hawkeye. I'd love for them to just, you know, just drop the name Ronan. Bam. because that works for me anyway. That works.
Yeah, but depending on if the motivation is what I think it is, the switch to Ronin doesn't really, you know, warrant such dramatics like that. You know,
it could if he goes after General Ross.
Maybe, but then he's going after General Ross. I know. I wish General Ross would die too.
No, I just want him to get cut up a lot and live in pain because he's a dick.
Fair enough. Moving right along then, I suppose. Yeah, you know.
Okay, I'm done.
Let's go ahead and get into our second half of our show because the other news is just not worth talking about. And let's go ahead and go into individual reviews. I'm going to let Taser go first.
Huh?
With The Death of the Inhumans, number 3.
Huh? Me? Not fair! Why make the black guy go first? I'm used to going last like most black people. Anyway.
Hey!
So, I reviewed 1 and 2 a few episodes ago, and honestly, I was having fun with this. This book has been quite interesting. So when we start off in Death of the Inhumans, issue number 3, we find out that Black Bolt got his throat cut, and they resealed it, so he didn't die. He didn't bleed out, but his vocal cords have been affected, and they're doing so without any type of anesthesia or anything like that, and he's feeling everything, you know? I mean, he's feeling, you know, the needles going in and everything. He's feeling every damn stitch, and he can't do anything about it. And I'm going to call Vox Evil Black Bolt. Or reverse Black Bolt, because that's what he looks like to me. It's just like they took Black Bolt and they kind of inverted him a bit. So I'm calling him reverse Black Bolt. So yeah, him and that evil general dude, that created him. You know, they're kind of regaling in the pain that Black Bolt is going through. And Black Bolt really can't do a whole lot until Black Bolt is left in the cell. He's got 2 guards, and then he starts to speak. First word out of his mouth, Lockjaw. Second word out of his mouth, Maximus. Then Triton. And then you see the guards start to have a nosebleed. Then he says, Flagman. And the guy's got to take off his helmet because he doesn't know what's going on. The other guard, he butts him in the head, butts Black Bolt in the head with his rifle. So then he says, Sterilon, or whatever. Shut him up! Glass Girl. Ah! And now the other guard is being affected. Yes.
No, that's not how that went.
And then he says, New Arctillon, which is where the other wives of, I think the other wives of Black Bolt were, you know, those, the alien ones. Yeah, that's where they were, I believe. And that's when the other guard feels a serious effect of, because remember, Black Bolt controls electrons. So having dispatched with these guys, Black Bolt goes commando. He goes
without underwear. Interesting. Yeah, really, very much so. On his part.
it's Black Bolt taking no shorts.
Yeah, man.
He heads into this, I don't know, I guess operating room, and, you know, he, you know, kills the doctors there, and he kills the guards, and he finds somebody laid out on an operating table. It's Ronin. And apparently Ronin was on...
Oh, shit, I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about Ronin, like Clint Barton, who we were just talking about.
you know what? That is my fault. I should have said Ronan. That's
Black Bolt just looks at him like, who the fuck is this?
Yeah, that's my bad. No, he finds Ronan.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, Ronan is not in good condition. They were doing something to him. He's got tubing going into his head and body, and he is in no condition to move. And it sounds like they're harvesting him for parts or something. Yeah, they're cannibalizing him for something like that. He is not in a good way at all. And Ronan actually pretty much begs Black Bolt to kill him. Which, given the art, that's what it seems he does. So, yeah, I think we've seen the last of Ronan the Accuser. You know?
No!
The B story is, well, remember, Black Bolt and Kung Fu Guy.
Karnak.
Thank you, Karnak. Karnak had gone to that planet to meet up with Vox and, you know, evil Kree dude. And Karnak makes it out. Okay, Karnak took a while to get home. Medusa was tearing her hair apart in worry and fret. So the ship lands and, you know, they crack it open. And Karnak is still alive. He's still got the wound in his stomach. He, you know, tells him what had happened, how they slit his throat, how they kept him, how he managed to get away, and he managed to get home. So, fine. Crystal and Gorgon, they hop in the ship, and they head out because Medusa's like, no, it's time. We need to go hire us a gun. We need to get somebody who knows how to hit and hit very, very hard. And Karnak is kind of happy to hear this because, yeah, he wants to see these guys pay. And I don't think anybody could, you know, hold it against him considering the sheer amount of, you know, genocide that these people have been capable of. Mm-hmm. So they go to this planet and they make mention of the planet that they landed on was destroyed hundreds of years ago in a battle involving Galactus and some kind of demon, which is a reference to Cosmic Ghost Rider number 2.
What?
Right. and they find this hut, and as they approach it, the person inside goes, "That's far enough. I work for no house. I swear no allegiances. And I am quite drunk, and you are not welcome here. So leave while you can, Your Highness." Wait! This isn't about houses or allegiances. The Kree have killed our home. They are killing all of our people who do not join them. This is Crystal, by the way. They killed Maximus and Triton. And Lockjaw. They've taken Black Bolt. Hold! What the hell did you just say about Lockjaw? And bum bum bum! It's Beta Ray Bill.
Wait, what?
Yeah, man. Beta Ray Bill in his, you know, normal, unchanged, and, you know, kind of horsey-looking.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah. Why would you take him out of that fucking outfit?
Well, he does change back every now and again. But, yeah. So, it seems like Beta Ray Bill is going to join this fight. If that's the case, oh, there's going to be some pain coming the Kree way. Because while Vox seems to be a good match for Black Bolt, Beta Ray Bill is... We're talking Thor class. And while I...
Want him to put the hammer down? He'll put the hammer down.
And while I think Black Bolt could give Thor a kind of a fight, he's not winning that fight. And Beta Ray Bill can hold his own with Thor. You know, as a matter of fact, I'll say it. The only way that Beta Ray Bill would really lose is if he was only half fighting Thor. So, you know, it depends on how they want to write this. But this could be really, really good, the next issue. This was a lot of fun. I'm actually enjoying this book. You know, this is a must pick up for me, you know.
Yeah. I'm surprised it turned out that way, honestly. You didn't go into this with very high expectations. No, I didn't.
And honestly, I kind of figured they'd be half-assing it or something. I don't know. But it's been gripping, you know, and it's called me back, so there's something to be said for it. Donnie Cates, writer, Ariel Olivetti.
Donnie Cates is fucking artists. Everywhere nowadays.
Yeah. This was a good book. So I'll give Death of the Inhumans number 3 4.5 out of 5 warriors.
All right, then. I'm going to go up next with Extermination number 2. This is the Court of X-Men miniseries. I guess that led to their relaunch of Uncanny X-Men in November. To sum it up, from the first issue, basically Cable's dead again. And... a younger version of Cable is hunting down the original 5 X-Men. Oh, and Ahab is here too. That's about it. And Rachel's having PTSD because Ahab is here and she's getting her hound marks again, which is, the more I look at it, I'm like, God, that's fucked up, using other mutants as dogs to hunt mutants. Like, that's really fucked up. So basically this issue is more exposition, more of like, what is going on? I don't know what's going on. Do you know what's going on? I don't know what's going on. Oh my God, Cable, you're young. My son, why? And Angel gets captured. Do you, any of you remember when Angel first got his wings chopped off?
Yes.
That happens again here. So
basically, wait a minute, Angel or young Angel?
Young Angel. He's capturing the original 5 that the kid assholes. Yeah. So Cable captures him, and he has him tied up chain style against the super high tech, and you just hear a blade spinning, and then the blade connects with the metal wing, and you hear whirr, and it's off. And next panel is Angel off screen, and you just, like, you can see the text bubble of Angel screaming like, ah! Like, you can, like, visit, it's cutting the wing off, the metal wings off of him, and, like, young Cable is just sitting there, like, you did this to yourselves. So for some reason, we don't know why, but
wait. Is it young Cable or old? I mean, a young Angel or old Angel who's having this done to him?
It's young Angel. The original 5 that were brought to our time to teach Scott Summers a lesson.
But how does he have metal wings?
I think, like, they did some stupid event a couple years ago where, like, all the, like, Angel for some reason got metal, like, he got, like, metal wings, and fire would come out of him or something.
Yeah, that was
Was that the secondary mutation bullshit?
I think that was during the Apocalypse. No, it wasn't Apocalypse Wars.
It was a crossover with the Guardians of the Galaxy and some stupid shit where, like, I don't even know if the other X-Men got other powers because they never bring them up. But Angel's the easiest one to notice just because his wings are fucking different.
Yeah, that's fucking weird.
But okay. Yeah, so they're gone, like, they're sawed off.
Wow.
Like, and it's like, oh my, like, it reminds, I even think if you look at the panel of like, when I think it was Mr. Sinister who first cut him off, like, of like how Angel got his wings cut off the first time, it's eerily similar, and it just, like, I had PTSD. I'm like, oh my God, not again. God, why can Angel just never have his wings not get cut off?
I think that's just the thing with the character. So the first time it happened was so like, you know, that it's a thing to revisit. You know what I mean? Oh my gosh!
Wow. Yeah, and Ahab, I don't know. The thing is, like, it's kind of like we're still trying to get a feel for everything now. The art is really good. It's by Pepe Larraz. It's really, really fun. I don't know how all these elements are going to come together, and I kind of like that. Like, I'm unsettled by what's going on, and I'm confused, but in a good way. Like, Cable's dead, but there's a younger version of Cable killed him. So, like, why is younger Cable hunting down the original 5 X-Men? Probably because of time, like, and they made a mention that, well, maybe you fuckers aren't the original 5, and that you've been here for so long that you've altered the dynamics of history, and they're still the original 5 back then, but you assholes can't come back because you are not the original 5. It's weird. So I'm hoping they kill them off at the end of this, because Bobby and now Warren have been captured. So I'm imagining either Beast or Cyclops will get captured next. Maybe Scott's eyes will get taken out or something. I don't know.
Or maybe Gene will get shot in the head.
Yeah, maybe.
Yay!
They don't address the fact that, like, Jean... Like, by the way, adult... Our Jean Grey is there, too. Like, it's kind of weird. I'm like, oh, yeah, there's the teen version of you, and then there's you. Okay. And then at the end, the final page is, somehow... I don't exactly get how, but somehow Ahab turned old man Logan into a hellhound, and so he's gonna fight the X-Men next issue. Boy. Yeah, it was like, and he had like all the hell marks and shit. Like, well, that's creepy. But yeah, I just like, why the fuck is Ahab here? Like, that's my biggest question.
Yeah, like, John wasn't too pleased with that either. He hates Ahab apparently.
Yeah, oh yeah, he despises the character with a passion.
I wonder why. I've never heard of. I've
he
never
wasn't
heard
happy
of his...
with him. And to be perfectly honest, Ahab was kind of boring. You know, it's like, oh, he uses mutants as hounds. I
only knew him in passing mention from the Apocalypse Twins back when Rick Remender was doing this thing over in Uncanny Avengers and whatnot.
No,
I didn't even know.
This is Ahab came out like around 92, like late 80s, early 90s, and. Rachel was like really like she freaked out when they mentioned him and you know wanted to run and shit because like Ben said, you know, he was the one, he used her as a hound, he scarred her face and everything else like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, and for a while they played Ahab as if he was like some evil version of Cable. You know, they kind of played with that for a little bit. Of course, I don't think it went anywhere after a while, but at that point I had already gotten out of Marvel. But Ahab himself, I couldn't understand why this guy was a thing, you know, because he himself didn't really seem too powerful. He was like Coach, you know, the coach, and he has a super powerful team of people that he controls, but he himself is not powerful. So it's like mm-hmm. Professor X minus the ability to do all the mind shit. You know, it's like, oh, why are you a thing? You know, what the fuck? But anyway, yeah, I don't think too much of Ahab myself.
Fair
so me
enough.
And John, I'm with you, John. I understand. Solidarity.
Hey, you're with him in spirit now. He's dead. He's dead, and he's never coming back.
Yeah, well, he didn't give me my Burger King, so to hell with yeah. John. To hell with him!
Oh, that's right. I forgot you murdered him, so...
As per our canonical timeline, until we get rebooted by the end of the year. All right, but let's close out the show with bye bye. I was thinking, fuck it, that's the intro. No, I don't know.
That's the title.
Brian,
show title.
You have an origin story. We have a fucking origin story now.
Yeah, I mean, kind of. It's what they count as one. I'm doing the Life of Captain Marvel number one and number two. Just a brief overview. Because honestly, there's not a whole lot going on here. Anyway, written by Margaret Stoll, illustrated by Carlos Pacheco, which is a point in its favor. I picked it up mainly out of interest because I heard for the grapevine that this is a story where they're rebooting Carol Danvers' origin. Not that I'm sure she ever actually got a definitive origin outside of being Air Force pilot person who got caught in an accident. I don't know. My memory doesn't go back that far. But regardless of any of that, basically it reboots her so that she's from Massachusetts. She's a masshole, guys. Yay! You know, that's great.
I cannot picture Carol talking about... Hey, Thanos, I'm gonna park your mud in the car.
Oh, wait for that, because it gets better. So the story picks up on these underpinnings of her tumultuous home life. Apparently, when she was a kid, her father was abusive towards her and her brother, which I didn't even know she had a brother.
Of course. That's new too. Her having a brother. That is completely.
Yeah, so she has a mom, a dad, a brother, and the dad was abusive. They would regularly go to Maine every summer to help out her uncle with their lobster boat because they got to be as New England as fucking possible, kid. You know what I'm telling you, all right? So anyway, this fucking broad, she goes back to Maine, right? And she talks with this fucking guy who has the most obnoxious typed on fucking Boston accent you ever fucking read in a fucking comic book. I'm telling you, kid, you listening? Now watch this shit, all right? He literally talks in these dialogues with a fucking Boston accent. Swear to God, he actually calls Dunkin' Donuts Dunkster. Dunkster.
Wow.
Dunkster, what the fuck? Yeah, it is. Listen, It is not that bad, honestly, when nobody else has the accent. But this one dude goes so hard with the townie accent. It is so hard to get through whenever he shows up on the scene. And they will tack on the AH in just random dialogue bubbles, even though Carol Danvers never once says anything even close to resembling a Boston accent. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. And then this is all in the first issue still, by the way. We haven't even gotten to issue 2, but I'm getting to that. Apparently, she goes to visit her family in Maine, and her brother and her have a disparity because, you know, she never helped the family deal with the most recent death of the father, who, again, was abusive and stuff. And after a heated confrontation, the brother goes out, crashes his car, and suffers a traumatic brain injury. And so through a display of what we get through, like, a montage type thing, she's out of the Avengers for, like, I would estimate at least 6 months, helping to take care of her brother with her mother.
Her mother. You have to take care of her mother this weekend.
Nah, it's Ma. Your Ma. Yo, Ma! 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 Bring Yo, Ma, we got any Gatorade? You know? Oh, and there's Red Sox paraphernalia everywhere. Fucking. I'm a Red Sox fan, and I got annoyed with how much Red Sox. Dude, no, listen to me. Her mom's cat is named Sox. Her mom's cat is named Sox.
To be fair, Sox is a pretty common cat name.
Fair enough, but is it spelled S-O-X?
Wow.
Because that's how they spell it in the book.
It's still Sox. I mean, like, there's a
Go Sox! Go Sox!
At least it's not S-A-W-K-S. It's not that, at least.
That would have been worse. Admittedly, that's not that bad.
There's a great cat running around my neighborhood, and I call him Sox.
Fair enough. But, and there's also this whole thing with, like, some alien device having been found among her father's effects. By the way, sends some sort of satellite signal back to some sort of, sends a signal back to some sort of satellite that then spawns some sort of genetic spawn type thing that grows this like alien super soldier with a color of skin tinted just a nice shade of blue that then suddenly lands in New England and starts trying to track down Carol Danvers. And we just get more of there's this dude they're setting up. I think it's a potential interest for Carol. He's this townie from Maine who runs a donut shop that is not Dunkin' Donuts, even though he calls
Dunksta.
Not Dunksta. Who the fuck calls it Dunks? Just call it Dunkin's, you fucking morons. Anyway, she starts talking with this dude, and his entire conversation is written with this Boston accent. I honestly cannot express how kind of annoyed I am. Is this what I sound like just on a regular basis? Is this really what I sound like?
I mean, like, whiny. If you mean whiny as a bitch, sure.
Oh, no, you don't actually sound bad as a Massachusettsonian. Whatever.
I know I can kind of get it when I get going a little bit, like when I get it, like
your Bostonianisms come out.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I'm not trying to, I swear.
Your
but...
Bostonian is showing.
Hey.
Yeah, but anyway. You know what's funny? We've never heard Taser tonight turn into full New York asshole.
Yeah, there's a reason why.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, pardon me from being that guy, but Taser's a black New Yorker. There's a difference between black New Yorker and stereotypical New York accent. I feel like there's a dividing line there, if nothing else.
Hey!
But to round out my interview, my review rather, I'm not interviewing anybody, although it feels like it with this book. It feels like I'm back in like the deepest bowels of Massachusetts with this book. Carol's brother at the end of the second issue suddenly just kind of gets over his traumatic brain injury, which rendered him a vegetable, kind of. Yeah. And at the same time, this Cree soldier woman tracks Carol down and is coming after her. It's weird. It's like two issues of nothing happening. I am so befuddled by it because there's like, look, if you want to build this character, if you want to give her a definitive origin, if you want to make her Superman for, you know, the MCU, whatever, that's fine. You can do that. But, like, most of these two issues is concerned about a plot I didn't even mention, which is her finding out that her abusive asshole of a dad may have had a side piece that her mom never knew about. And she found all these old love letters and shit. And a lot of that is her just mooning over this, like, oh, what do I do? Do I tell my mom? Do I not? It's...
But he's already dead, so who cares?
That's kind of what I'm saying. You know, there are larger concerns. Like, for example, this is all still happening while a brother has a traumatic brain injury sustained in a car accident. And, oh, yeah, by the way, you're Captain Marvel. You're an Avenger. Don't you have things to go avenge and save and shit?
So this is not an origin story?
It is. It is an origin story.
Filling in stuff that we didn't know was there.
Yeah, it's origins as told through flashback and pathos in the modern day. It's not like going back and telling her story over again. It's her, like, going through family drama now and then touching upon themes of what happened in the past. So it's not like a direct origin reboot. It hardly ever references the past in terms of, like, actual content. Like, far as flashbacks go, they're few and far between. Most of the stuff takes place in the modern context where she's Captain Marvel now. And, you know, she's an Avenger. And she's helping her mom kind of deal with this stuff. But it's not really, like, the classical origin story. I mean, look, honestly, I feel like this book was almost made to appeal to a certain person, and I am not that. And given the fact that it was geared specifically to appeal to my cultural aspect, I guess, I'm not enthused with it. So I don't know who this is
appealing to. So you think this was tailored for New England?
No.
Really?
I don't genuinely think that. I mean, look, here's the thing. I don't know who this was tailored for. I genuinely don't. Because if you're a fan of Captain Marvel, I assume you're a fan of Captain Marvel because she's a kick-ass female who can save the day. You can enjoy stories like this, I guess. I don't know who would, because there's, like, nothing going on here. It's literally her fretting for two issues over her abusive asshole of a deceased father with her mother, and there's so much crying and drama, and maybe it was made for women.
I'm thinking that's probably the case, much like, and I know Iggy loved it, but like that last She-Hulk run, you know, where...
I'm getting that sense.
Yeah,
because
for 8 issues, all it was her worried about losing control and then walking around talking about stuff and worried about losing control, and she didn't actually Hulk out until... more than 6 issues later.
yeah, no shit. And so there's a whole lot of mother-daughter shit going on here, a lot of family drama. There's like nothing. There's a few pages of superhero stuff at the very beginning of the first issue, and then that's kind of it. And I don't know. I mean, I might check out issue 3 out of like a morbid curiosity type thing, but I don't think I'll buy it. You know, it's just this is really kind of confounding to me. And again, they beat you over the head with the New England Bostonian land without the R kind of thing. They beat you over the head
without the R.
I hate to say this, but it seems like they tried to inject some white culture into this book. Hey Sarah, how you doing?
Oh, he heard you. Yeah, we're talking about Captain Marvel, honey.
Hey,
I'm reviewing
you should
the book
get her
right
to
now.
Review the book.
Yeah, it's
get
okay.
Get her to
you're
review
good.
The book.
The lady shall be this.
Oh, no, you're fine. Anyway, just to finish up, I mean, look, I don't know who this is for. This isn't a comic book. This is like, what was that really shitty book that Mark Millar did with, like, Uncle Ben and Aunt May and Richard and Mary Parker?
This has the underpinnings
of that kind of. So, look, if you're in this for the superhero beat-em-ups, go and find a different Captain Marvel book. This is not for you. If you want to dig into her psyche, I guess, that's fine. But, look, we're coming up on issue 3, and nothing really has happened in terms of, like, superhero antics. There's literally been nothing going on. Where she just sits in a donut shop, complains to a dude who calls Dunkin' Donuts Dunksta, and talks with the most obnoxious Boston accent I've ever written.
You know what this reminds me of? And I know
what does this remind you?
Remember, okay, this goes over to the Distinguished Competition. Remember that issue of GL with Kyle when he spent the entire issue sitting in Radu's coffee shop talking.
Oh my god.
Yeah, this sounds like that. Which is why I hate Kyle
Rayner. That's actually kind of a more apt comparison. I almost want to give it to that, you know, but distinguished competition and all. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen, okay? This is a story about A. Carol Danvers, who is from Boston, who spent all of her summers in Maine, who walks into local donut shops that aren't Dunkin' Donuts, and her mom has homemade blueberry buckle waiting on the counter for her, and just everybody talks with that accent. And I honestly, it felt like it beat me over the head with it more than the Departed did. And that was wow. Something where those accents were really fucking tacked on. So, yeah, I mean, it sucks to say, but out of two issues, I give it a 2.5 out of 5. And that's being generous. That's being actually really generous, man, considering not much has gone on. I mean, Carlos Pacheco does fantastic artwork as per usual. The covers are nice to look at. And there are some admittedly strong moments of like character dialogue and stuff, but to have to get through the slog of the accent and just the sheer nothingness going on in this book is just a slog. So you are better off going to find a different Captain Marvel volume to read. So you go and you do that. You go find a different Captain Marvel to read. Go read Kelly Sue DeConnick's run. I hear it was pretty good. I picked the first couple issues. I thought it was all right. Go pick up something else. Literally any other Captain Marvel. Go pick up Marvel stuff. Go pick up the original OG Captain Marvel. That'll be better than this, you know. So, yeah. Okay, I'm done.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode. We hope you enjoyed everything. Before I let Brian go ahead and plug everything else, I'm going to go ahead to plug something that I did recently on the GreenLanternCorps.com. Outside of we can get weekly reviews of Green Lanterns now that Hal Jordan and Green Lantern Corps is over. But say you want to revisit Hal Jordan and Green Lantern Corps without reading all my reviews, well, you can check out the top 10 best moments from Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps. Go check that out if you've read the series and, you know, see if my list compares to yours. And if you want to fight me about it, because I will just block you on Twitter. Anyways, Brian, plug the rest of our and then also you can follow me at twitter.com/MarvelousIggy. Brian, plug the rest of our stuff.
Hey there, folks. We are at Facebook at the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We are a news aggregator, which means what, Taser?
We steal stories.
Damn, Skippy. We take all the lead stories from all the greatest news sites, and we give you one single channel stream of news for you to pick up on. We don't throw any chuffa in there, some might say, but hey, we're happy to oblige. If you want that, let us know in the comment section. You can also find us at the Warriors 3, warriors3.wordpress.com. That's our website where we post all the latest episodes. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes. We are at iTunes at the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Hey, give us a 5-star review and leave us kind word. That'd be nice of you. You know, we would appreciate that. Also on Twitter at Warriors3PCast. That's WARRIORZ3PCAST. PCAST. Yeah, that's right. You can also follow me personally on Twitter at No Mr. Powers. That's at NO_MR_POWERS. We are out and about usually on the social medias. Ben's usually active on Twitter. I'm more on Facebook and Twitter, but hey, you can come follow us either way. And again, just follow us on any of those mediums. That's how you get the latest episodes and our news also on Facebook. Ben, you have a personal Twitter to plug.
If you were paying attention,
I was not paying attention, obviously. Why would I pay attention?
Fight.
Taser, do you have anything to plug?
Yes. Actually, I just want to say thank you to some of the people who've liked us and some, you know, the fans who've partaken and given us likes and actually left us comments on our on some of the stuff we shared on Facebook. Some people who don't actually always share our opinions on certain things, but I like that because I love differing opinions. So even if you don't agree with us, at least we agree that we like some Marvel comics, and that's fine by me. You know, we could disagree on other things, but we like the Marvel comics. thumbs up to all of that. So thank you for people who come by to, you know, come by the Facebook page and, you know, perused some of the things that we've stolen and shared. You know,
indeed.
like the newest meme with the whole Kaepernick ad.
The
Nike ad memes. People have loved
believe
those.
In something, even if it means sacrificing half of everything.
Yeah, really. So yeah, thank you guys a lot, and we're glad that you enjoy it. That's all I gotta say. Oh, and John would say buy Burger King, except not at his store because that would be work for him.
And Taser usually says something like Crystal Yamaguchi or Ming-Na Wen or something like that. I don't know what's up with him. He's kind of.
I had Chinese food today, so you know I'm kind of done with that.
Oh, you're not hungry for seconds yet? Oh, ooh. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Giggity.
Hey.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. We will see you on 2 weeks. Or maybe not. Maybe I'll get fucking captured in another fight where these assholes don't help me again. Either way.
Captured by ice.
Until next time, stay marvelous. Have a good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Peace. Here we are, born to be king.